Tonight we're going to be in the Gospel of John. We've been walking through John now for quite a while. We're up to chapter 6. Yes, blessings upon the newly married. We had three weddings in the past couple of days. Ashley and Dan got married yesterday. Sarah and Nathan got married yesterday. And Derek and Leanne got married day before yesterday. So please be in prayer for these brand new married couples as they have to have their honeymoon in quarantine. But just pray for God's blessings upon these new couples. All right, so I'm going to ask you to go to John chapter 6. We're just starting that chapter this week. And another great chapter in God's Word. Now, in chapter 5, we saw where Jesus finished there. He was in his ministry saying, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And chronologically speaking, in between chapters 5 and 6 of the Gospel of John, two things happened that are not recorded in John, but they're recorded in the other Gospels. So just to put that out there for a bit of trivia, the Sermon on the Mount, which most of you are familiar with, in the Gospel of Matthew primarily, 5 and 6, and then the parables of the kingdom. In Matthew 13 and some of the other Gospels, those also were given in between chapters 5 and 6 of the Gospel of John. But tonight, we're going to be looking at one of the greatest miracles in the Bible, and I say that because of all the miracles in the Bible, this particular miracle where Jesus is feeding the 5,000 is the only of all the miracles that's found in all four Gospels. All the other miracles are only found in one or two or three Gospels, but this particular miracle here in John chapter 6, all four Gospels. So that makes it a very important miracle. So we'll start there in John chapter 6, and we'll read, I'll read the beginning, and we'll pray, and we'll get started. The Bible says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Let's ask the Lord to bless our time in his word this evening. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to open the word together, Lord. We pray during these very troublesome times for your protection upon your people, your protection upon our church, your protection upon our country. And Lord, that you would use this trial in lives, as you always do. Lord, to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. Lord, to see Christians get right with God. Lord, as we look into your word tonight, we pray for your wisdom. We pray the Holy Spirit would use it to teach us and to grow us. Lord, to make us more like Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to have these live services, Lord, that we have the internet available and we can do this. It's such a blessing. Thank you. And now use it. Lord, I thank you for those that have joined and those that may be watching as families in their homes. Just bless them and give us a sweet time in your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. So in John chapter 6, here we see Jesus see a multitude come to him. And he uses it as an opportunity to teach his disciples, as we can see here. But first, I want us to notice in verse 2, the Bible says, a great multitude follow him. But then the Bible explains why. It says, because they saw his miracles. Now, what this is saying is that a lot of these people were following Jesus because of the miracles. Now, that's okay. The miracles were to prove the person of Jesus Christ. But that is not why we should be following Jesus. We should be following Jesus because he's the answer, because he's the truth, because he's the Savior. And where were all these people when Jesus was hanging on the cross? They were nowhere to be found. These people were following Jesus to get short-term material gain through miracles. They were what you might call walking by sight rather than by faith. And we know that many of them were not true disciples because they didn't stay with Christ. But Jesus now saw an opportunity, and remember that the disciples are in Bible college training. They have 3 years, three to three and a half years of practical training. This is another opportunity for Jesus to teach them something. So remember, that's what this is primarily about, is Jesus is about to teach his disciples. Yes, he's going to work a miracle. Yes, 5,000 men and the women and the children are going to be fed food that God created just from this tiny little lunch. But I want us to focus tonight on thinking about what is Jesus trying to teach his disciples in this great miracle, the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. And so Jesus saw the multitudes, which we obviously need to. He says to lift up our eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already in the harvest. But he takes the opportunity now to turn to Philip, one of the disciples, and say, Philip, when shall we buy bread? So we know now that Jesus is teaching them. He's teaching them something very important. Because Jesus, when Jesus asks questions, it's not because he needs the answer. He's God. He knows the answer. So he knows where the bread's going to come from. But Philip doesn't. And so he's now going to teach the disciples an amazing lesson, which we'll learn as we go, that God provides, and God provides miraculously. And what a great lesson to learn during this government or country shutdown. So the disciples here are being taught. Now, if you go over to Mark chapter 6 quickly and verse 35, I just want to show you that Jesus was doing this all the time. Turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 6. I'll turn in my Bible over to Mark chapter 6. Notice in verse 35, the Bible says, and when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that we may go into the country round about, and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. So this was another opportunity for the disciples to learn something, but they didn't. Because rather than turn to Jesus and say, Lord, we have this multitude, it's getting late, what are we going to do? You're God. They said, send them away. We don't want the responsibility of all these people getting fed. Where was their compassion? Where was their concern about this multitude of people that needed something to eat? And so here Jesus is going to now stop and say, gentlemen, you're going to learn something. You're going to learn about me and how I provide. Now, go to verse 6 of our passage of John chapter 6. We know this is all about a lesson because it says there, and this he said to prove him. Does God prove his children? All the time. I've been preaching that series in Tirau. God is constantly proving us through temptations, through trials, through tests. This was a test of the disciples. He chose Philip to ask the question, but he was teaching all 12 disciples a lesson. This was to prove him. Jesus already knew the answer to the question. Jesus already knew that he was going to provide, but he wants the disciples to learn something. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. And without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And these disciples, they didn't have the power to feed 5,000 men and the women and the children. And so what's Jesus want them to do? He wants them to look to him for the answers, look to him for the provision, to look to him. And Philip, the best answer, Philip would have been, Lord, you know how. You're God. You can take care of this. But that's not what he said. He said in verse 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. In other words, Lord, I don't think it's possible. And how many times is that our response to situations we find ourselves in? We're low on funds, we're low on provision, we're low on whatever. And we turn to God and say, Lord, this is impossible. Philip was just looking at the natural resources available and not looking at the supernatural resources available through Jesus Christ. We need to remember this great lesson. No, 200 penny worth of bread isn't sufficient. And no, we don't have among ourselves the resources to do what God wants us to do. But God doesn't ask us to. God says, you can do it, but with my help, with my resources. Without me, you can do nothing. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So moving on, verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says, there's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. So that's a better answer than Philip's. He said, Lord, I did find a lunch. I mean, it's not much, but here's 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, there's probably 7, 8, 10,000 people sitting out there in the field. But he says, Lord, here's a lunch. And I like that because that's a start. And you know, whatever we have to offer to the Lord, it's the Lord that multiplies it. It's the Lord that's going to take those little things that we have, the talents and the gifts and everything, and multiply them and use us to make a difference in his ministry. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 9:10, if you will, quickly. I just want to remind you tonight that the lesson Jesus is trying to get across, the main lesson, is that he will multiply whatever we have. And of course, the second lesson we're going to find out is he uses us to distribute his resources. But notice 2 Corinthians 9:10, if you turn over there in your Bibles or on your phones, it says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Look at that phrase, multiply your seed sown. God multiplies whatever resources that we have. Praise God. God is a multiplier. And so Andrew says, Lord, what's 200 penny worth of bread? Or what's this little boy's lunch among so many? Again, he's looking at the natural resources. He's looking at what's on hand. We can't do that. We need to always look at it through the eyes of a all-powerful, all-knowing God who can do anything. And so it tells us in verse 10 how many people were there. It says the men was about 5,000. Now, of course, there would have been women and children as well. So we don't know how many people were there, but let's just say it was a lot. Most people call this the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Again, the only miracle in all 4 Gospels. So notice what Jesus did. Verse 11, he took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples. Think about this tonight. Jesus can do anything. Amen? He's a creator. Jesus is all powerful. Jesus could have set up a banquet table. Jesus could have just miraculously had food appear in everyone's lap, even in a special bag or whatever. But no, he chose to use the disciples to distribute what he had miraculously created. So remember, this is all about teaching lessons. This is about proving his disciples, teaching them how to minister, teaching them how to serve Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. So he's not only trying to say, gentlemen, don't look at what you have. Don't look at your natural resources. Look at me. Look at what I can do if you'll just commit it to me. He's also saying, if you will look to me, I just want you to be a distributor of what I can create. So how many of us are always afraid of a new challenge? How many of us are always afraid to witness? How many of us are afraid of situations that are coming up or conflicts with others? Why don't we just look at them and say, well, this is a new challenge, but you know, with God, I can solve this. God has the resources to make this happen. How many times are we told in the Bible not to fear? And here we find ourselves in this pandemic, and the first time in the history of my lifetime where the government says we can't have church. But God says, don't fear. God says, I'm in control. And so the Bible says there in verse 11, this is really the key to the whole thing, is the Bible says, and the disciples to them that were set down. So remember, this is all about lessons. What is the lesson Jesus is trying to teach? He's trying to teach that he is the provider. He is the one that creates. We are the ones who distribute what he provides. We're just channels. We are not reservoirs. God is the infinite reservoir. You know, Paul told the Philippians, he said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus is the reservoir. We're just the channel. And the Bible tells us in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running and over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Think about what that's saying. Give, okay, give of what you do have, and what will happen? It'll be given unto you. But where does it come from? Shall men give into your bosom? Where did they get it? From God. So, I believe he's trying to teach his disciples that one of the keys to serving God is first admitting we aren't distributors, we aren't creators, we're just the channels. We're just the distributors. And that's the word that he used there in verse 11. That's the kind of the key word of the message tonight, which will be our title. He distributed to the disciples. Remember, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing in John 15:5. So, if you can learn anything from what Christ was trying to teach his disciples, it's that you don't have the resources to do what God wants you to do. You don't have them in and of yourself. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. Do you have the capability to love others as God tells you to? No. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you have within yourself the capacity to be joyful no matter what the circumstances? No. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And you see where I'm going. We could go on and on. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's coming from God. He is the one that creates. He's the one that provides. We're just the channels. So when he tells us to love others, how do we do that? It's his love. When he tells us to give to others, how do we do that? It's his resources. So these disciples were being taught, gentlemen, you're just sinful men. But if Jesus is with you, he can create whatever's needed, and he just wants you to distribute it. He's the one that created the miraculous bread and fish to feed 5,000 men. The disciples didn't create it, but they did distribute it. The Bible says they sat them down, and the disciples are the ones who passed it around. So the Bible says, verse 12, when they were filled, so everybody there got filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. So, he's already taught them two very important lessons with this miracle. The first one, obviously, is that we have nothing in and of ourselves. Without him, we can do nothing. He's the one that creates. He's the one with the infinite resources. The second lesson he's teaching his disciples, gentlemen, I just want you to distribute what I create. And that's what he wants from us. He just wants us to distribute what he creates. He wants us to distribute his love to this lost and dying world. He wants us to distribute the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants us to distribute resources to those that are in need. Where do we get them? From God? We're just channels. He's the reservoir. But now a third lesson. God hates waste. If Jesus can create enough food to feed 5,000 men, and who knows how many women and children, stop and think. He could have created enough to do 5 million. Because it's Jesus. He's the creator. Why then did Jesus want the disciples to gather up the leftovers? What was so important? He created it all from one little boy's lunch anyway, so why does it matter that they gather up the leftover? I think, again, his third lesson to the disciples was, gentlemen, yes, I create. Yes, in the infinite reservoir of all things, and yes, you're just the distributors, but I do not want you to be wasteful. Now, go to Matthew chapter 25, and I want to show you another way to look at this third lesson about waste. But where do we get our talents? All of us have different talents. Where do we get those? From the Lord. Where do we get our time 24 hours a day to serve the Lord, the air to breathe? From the Lord. Where do we get the gifts of the Holy Spirit when we got saved? From the Lord. What does God want us to do with those? To hide them or to use them? To waste them or to use them? So in Matthew 25, look at verse 27 if you would. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. That word usury means interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. God wants a return on his investment in our lives. Think about the gifts that God has given you. Think about the talents that God has given you. Think about the resources that he has given you. He hates waste. He wants you to put it to use for him. And so the Bible even takes the time to record there in verse 13 of our passage that they filled 12 baskets. Why is that important? Because Jesus said, I want you to collect what's left over. I don't want it to be wasted. It's good bread. Other people can eat it. God has given us so much. I don't want you to waste it. Now, these people said, oh, this is the prophet that Moses prophesied of in Deuteronomy 18. We're excited. This is definitely the Messiah. Most of them didn't mean it because they fell away. Because for them it was about the physical. But let's stop and think about the 12 disciples. What's Jesus trying to teach them? Gentlemen, there's a world out there that needs Jesus Christ. Very soon I'm going to tell just 500 of you that I want you to reach the entire world. Now, does that sound possible? Nope. With God, is it possible? Absolutely. Think about that. God tells every one of us, I want you to make a difference. I want you to take the time. I want you to take the talent. I want you to take the resources I've given you, the gifts that I've given you, handed them all to you for free. Put them to use. And whenever you find yourself in a situation where you don't have the resources to get something done or to meet a need, that's okay. Turn to the one who has infinite resources and just ask him to use you as a channel. And so think about what he taught these disciples. He is the reservoir. We're just the channel to pass on what he creates. Also, he wants us to understand that he is the only one that can make it happen. Without him, we can do nothing. How often do we try to do stuff in our own strength, in our own power? Don't do it. Have no confidence in the flesh. And then lastly, he hates waste. Why would he bother to tell him to pick up the 12 fragments? And if he didn't hate waste, he does hate waste. So let's take those three lessons to heart and think about why we're here. We're here to serve Jesus. We're here to make a difference in the lives of others. We're here to take what he creates and distribute it to others. We're here to not waste the time, the gifts, and the talents that he's given us. So what a great lesson. The Bible says he distributed to the disciples. Thank you. I want to remind you to